Ephesians chapter 5. And I have really a standalone message today. That's a preacher term. Standalone meaning it's not a part of a series. This is just a standalone message today. And it's entitled, A Wise Investment. A Wise Investment. It's not part of a series, but it could easily be an addendum to the series that I just finished last month on increase. Last month I talked about how we want to honor God with our finances. We want to honor God with every part of our life, and we want to honor Him including with every part of our life. That includes with our resources. And so I did 4 weeks on money matters. I talked about increase, how we can see increase in our life when we use our finances to honor God. I talked about less is more. In fact, I was over at the Gatikas yesterday, and they had a big board in their dining room that had these sermon titles: "Less is More," "Giving is Good," or "Stress is Bad," "Giving is Good," and "Tomorrow Matters." And so I was impressed by that they actually put that on display in their dining room. But this could be an addendum to that, even though it is a standalone message. One of the things that I said last week in Tomorrow Matters, the message, I talked about investing and spreading out that investment. But I made it very clear, and I'm going to say it again, I'll never tell you what specifically you should invest your finances in. When it comes to that, that's something that you need to study, you need to grow, and you need to learn, and Financial Peace University can help you with that. But I can tell you one thing to invest in, and this is a very wise investment. I can tell you this is so important that it may be more important than anything I said in all of last month's teachings, even dealing in the process of with the issues of your finances. And the wise investment that I'm talking about that I can tell you is worthy of your investment, and that is to invest in your marriage. Investing in your marriage is a very wise investment. Now, I know whenever preachers and teachers and pastors do series or do messages on marriage, there's always that kind of that dilemma, because you know that you might be alienating a few people. And I think some of the principles that you're going to hear today apply to everyone, whether you're married or not. In fact, I don't think it. I know it. But in addition to that, I know that some of you will be married someday, and it's good for you to learn these things. But I also know that some of you are going to, maybe you're single, but you're going to have an influence in a married couple's lives at some point. You might know someone who is married, and they may be going through a struggle. And if you have this stuff in your arsenal, so to speak, you're going to be able to help them. You're going to be able to bless them with some wise counsel on investing in their marriage. So if you're not married in here today, can I just ask you, don't check out on this message this morning, but I want you to understand that it raises the water level for everyone. When marriages are healthy, everyone benefits from it. Everyone benefits from it, whether you're single, whether you're divorced, whether you're a widow, whatever it is. Whenever marriage is elevated, it really raises a spiritual water level, and everyone is blessed because of it. So I believe that you're going to be blessed in this today, and so don't check out on this. But from a practical side, there is overwhelming evidence that the leading cause of poverty and financial strife is broken marriages. Overwhelming evidence. It's not so much background, it's not so much culture, it's not so much upbringing, it's not so much education. The leading cause, overwhelming evidence that the leading cause of poverty is broken marriages. Let me just give you a few of these stats as if you're interested. But this is decades of research, and it reveals the following findings. Married couples are less likely to be in poverty. Children living with married parents are less likely to live in poverty. On average, married mothers have much higher incomes than peers who are divorced, single, or cohabitating. Y'all know what cohabitating means. Living together but not married. Married men tend to have higher incomes, as much as twice as high as those who are divorced, single, or cohabitating. On an average, married couples accumulate significantly more assets, as much as four times more than those who are divorced or separated or single or cohabitating. So this led Time Magazine in a cover story recently to declare this, and I think I have this on the screen here this morning. There is no other single force causing as much measurable hardship and human misery in this country as the collapse of marriage. It hurts children, it reduces mothers' financial security, and has landed with particular devastation on those who can bear it least, to the nation's underclass. From the practical and financial side of things, healthy marriages make sense. They make sense. So investing in your marriage is a very wise investment. But I don't want to just talk from the practical side, because again, I am a pastor. And so I also want to deal from the spiritual side. Marriage is meant to be a reflection of our relationship with God. I don't know if you realize this, but it's actually talked about in Scripture on many occasions. But I had you turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, what you find in that chapter is the longest passage on the subject of marriage in all the Bible. Now, the subject of marriage comes up a lot in other passages throughout the Bible, but the longest passage dealing with the subject of marriage is Ephesians chapter 5. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he is giving instruction under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He is giving instructions to the church, and so this is not just for them today, it is for us as well. But he's talking in the longest passage on marriage. He ends it by saying this, and I want you to see this today. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 through 33. He says, now this is the end of that lengthy passage on marriage. He says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I'll talk more about that verse in just a minute, but get this. Now, this is the end of his lengthy word from God on the subject of marriage. He says this, this is a great mystery. And all the men said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, he's saying, I'm not just talking about marriage. He's saying, I'm talking about how our marriage is meant to be a reflection of God's relationship with his bride, the church, and how marriage is supposed to be a reflection of our relationship to him as our heavenly groomsman. And so really, this is what marriage is supposed to be. From a very practical side, marriage makes sense, but from a spiritual side, it's vital. It's vitally important that we understand that of all the relationships that are sort of a metaphor for our relationship with God, the Apostle Paul says the greatest is the marriage relationship. That act of laying your life down, on taking on someone else's name, those sacrificial acts really are a reflection of our relationship with God. And he says in verse 33, he says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. The best way we can honor God, the best way we can honor God is to honor our marriage. And the best way we can show the world the love of Jesus is the love we have for one another in our marriage. This is why marriage is so important. This is why we should invest in our marriage. It's truly a wise investment, practically and spiritually. So I want to give you three action points, much like I did in the series last month. I want to give you three action points to invest in your marriage. How to invest in your marriage. For some, this is a starting point. For some, it might need to be a starting over point. And for some of you, I believe it's going to be an encouragement to you to continue to persevere and a motivation to continue doing these things. So this is how we can invest in our marriage. These are wise investments to our marriage. And these are pretty practical, but I want to go a little deep with them today. Number one, never stop dating your spouse. Number one, date your spouse. Everybody say, date your spouse. For some reason, the ladies were a lot louder. And let's all say it. Date your spouse. Now, I just read this verse, verse 31, and this is the marriage covenant that Paul is talking about again. This is the one verse that it really encapsulates the marriage covenant. And actually, Paul is quoting from Genesis chapter 2. But in Ephesians 5:31 again, look at it again. It says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined." Would you say be joined? "Be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now, this word in the Hebrew for joined or to be joined, it's actually one word, to be joined, but it's actually one word in the old Hebrew. It's one word that has a lot of meaning to it, and it has a multiple definitions, in fact. The old King James translates the word cleave, "let the man cleave to his wife." The NIV translates it with a lot of words. The NIV says to be united one with another. But the word itself is the word dalbak. I know that's interesting. I don't usually give the words because people don't care, but I kind of like that word. I don't know why. I just like the word dalbak. And here's what it actually means, dalbak. Everybody say dalbak. It means to cling or adhere, to catch. Now, get this. To catch by pursuit, to pursue hard with affection and devotion. That's what joined or cleaved or be united together. That's what dalbak means. Now, I tell you what, husbands and wives just look at each other and say, "Baby, you better dalbak." Go ahead. "Baby, you better dalbak. You better dalbak. You better keep pursuing." That's what I'm talking about. This word actually means to pursue with an affection and a devotion. Because what happens is this: we pursue hard when we first start dating. You know, we're entering into the Valentine season, the season of romance, some say, and I don't think that season ever has to end, but. Some of you say, "Why is your wife not here?" She's actually helping. We had some people out in the nursery, so she's in the nursery today. But so she's helping me. She's helping you as well. But I don't think that season ever has to really end. But there's that point in our yearly calendar where it seems like it's elevated a little bit during Valentine's Day, and that Valentine's season. When we're first dating, there's that pursuit. There's an excitement. There's that romance. And you can't stop thinking about each other. And you're on the phone with each other. And sometimes you're not saying anything. You're just breathing. You know, it's. But you just can't wait to see each other. And when you're not together, you're thinking about each other. And it's that season early on when you're dating that you're pursuing. And then what happens is you finally catch each other in the pursuit and you get married and then you stop pursuing. You stop, something begins to change. You stop pursuing. That's not what this word talks about, and that's not what the marriage covenant is all about. When you stop pursuing and investing in that relationship, you will begin to grow apart. And one of the things that we must always keep in mind is that marriage really is that picture of our relationship with God. And think about how Jesus pursued us. Think about how much he continues to pursue you. He's never given up. He's never, you may try to walk away and he comes after you. How many of you ever done that before? You just kind of said, you kind of backslid or you kind of walked away and you just knew something was tugging you back. That's the pursuit of Jesus. But he pursued us. In fact, look back up, you're in Ephesians chapter 5. Look back up in verse 25. Look at the pursuit of Jesus. First of all, he's talking to marriages again. He says, "Husbands, love your wives. But listen to this. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Jesus gave himself. He laid down his life for his bride. He has pursued us with a passion. We just sang an incredible song about that pursuit. He pursues us with a reckless love. The reckless love of God. Likewise, we need to invest in our marriage by continuing to pursue one another, just like Jesus pursues us. So why should we do this? Well, just very honest, newsflash. When you date your spouse, when you continue the pursuit, guess what? You're going to continue to grow closer and closer with each other. You're not going to fall apart, but you're going to grow closer together. So what we do, and I'm just going to give you practical things, like I said, last month I talked about your investments, and I talked about getting a plan and sticking to that plan because stress is bad, getting a budget. Again, you're going to learn about these things in financial peace if you'll go through that. But let me say this to you. One of the things that we do, we sit down every year and we look at our budget, my wife and I, and we plan our budget for the year. One of the things, the very first thing that we always plan, it's really a no-brainer at this point, but we make a point to make it holy, and that's the first thing that is the first fruits, the tithe that goes to the church. But one of the things that is actually a line item on our budget is date nights. We budget for our dates. Okay, so some people say, well, I'm trying to save money and you're telling me I need to date my spouse. You know, it sounds like, you know, first of all, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It doesn't have to cost any money sometimes. And some of the best dates that we've had have been when we've gone out and just not spent any money. We just sat around and talked, you know, a bookstore or go window shopping down the street when it's nice weather outside or whatever. But putting this into practice, we budgeted, though, for those date nights. And so I was planning our date night last week, and sometimes I get stuck in a rut. And so I'd be happy if we just went back to the same place every week. I have my last little personal pizza, and she'd have whatever she wants. And but I know that we need to add variety, and so I was just kind of looking ahead, and thinking about our budget, and thinking, now Valentine's is coming up, and I know I'm going to want to do something extra special that week. And so if I do something this week, we're not going to have enough for something extra special. And I was just racking my brain thinking. And I guess it was obvious to my wife, because she finally just let me off the hook. She said, listen, I'm going to take you out tonight. And I said, no, that's not how this works. I'm supposed to be the man. And she said, it's okay for the woman sometimes to initiate the romance. It's okay for the woman sometimes to plan. I want to take you out tonight. I said, all right, well, still, it doesn't matter. It doesn't help with this budget situation. And she said, oh, I'm going to take you out, and it's not going to cost us anything. And I said, okay, you're speaking my language. I said, what do you got in mind? And she said, well, how does steak sound? And I said, and it's not going to cost anything? And she said, no, it's not going to cost anything. I said, that sounds great. I love steak. And she said, and we're going to have a side, you know, on the side, we're going to have some barbecue ribs. I said, praise Jesus. Glory. You're speaking my language. I said, how is this possible? And she said, I got a gift card to Texas Roadhouse for Christmas, and I'm going to take you on a date. And I said, come on, baby, let's go. It's free. And I'm saving that money, and she's taking me to, that's one of my favorites. She doesn't like it all that much because it's not really a romantic place. You know, have you ever been to Texas Roadhouse? I mean, they throw the peanut shells on the floor, you know, and I love it. But Jenner says, you know. So she took me out, and it was free because somebody gave her a gift card for Christmas, and or I don't know how she won it in some game that we played at Christmas, but she ended up with that, and she took me out, and I had no idea. So that freed up money for us to plan for Valentine's, so a little bit of extra money that we just, and it's not much that we budget anyway for our date nights, but that's what I'm saying. It's being intentional. And some people say, well, romance is supposed to be sporadic and spur of the moment kind of thing, you know, and sometimes yes, but can I just tell you, sometimes that'll get you in trouble. I remember when we were younger, I planned, it was our first Valentine's as a married couple, and I planned this elaborate trip to almost recreate our honeymoon that we had just done the year before. And I did all of this planning, and I got it all set up, and I surprised Jennifer, and here's all that she thought. As much as she wanted that to be, I wanted that to be romantic and meaningful, she was like, where's this coming from, you know? How are we going to pay for this, you know? And like I said, I didn't know things back then. I was dumb. I was young. I was stupid. But sometimes you can plan these things. You can get yourself into a place to where you begin to budget your money and you budget your time. That's vital, that you can begin to set aside time to spend with one another, because it's worth the investment. Add variety. Look for things that you both enjoy, but be willing to give and take. Sometimes he enjoys going to the ball game. Sometimes she enjoys going to the chick flick. Just sometimes you do what the other person likes, because that's love. That's giving of yourself and laying your life down. So another thing I want to say is have fun, but keep it wholesome. Act like you are always trying to get a second date. Why did it get quiet? I should have had a bunch of amens there. But this means lean in and be engaged and shelf any arguments or disagreements with the intention of revisiting those maybe later, at a later time. But listen to this quote. This is from the Smalley Marriage Institute. It says, when a couple spends time alone each week, their levels of happiness, positive communication, and sexual satisfaction are more than 3 times higher than those who don't spend time together. So everybody say, date your spouse. All right, number two, keep learning. Keep learning. Go ahead, you can say it out loud. Say, keep learning. W.A. Criswell was the pastor of First Baptist Church for 50 years. In that 50-year period, he grew that church to over 26,000 members. He was also the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He is regarded as the 20th century's greatest expository preacher, and he's one of the greatest preachers of all time. Yet, when asked how he kept his passion, how he stayed motivated, his answer, even well into his later years, his answer was, I never stopped learning. Now, this is one of the most brilliant men of the last century. And yet he said, I never stopped learning. I never gave up. I never quit studying. I never stopped learning. We need to come to the place where we realize that we really just don't know it all. Amen. I saw this list. I was telling Dominique over here. I saw this list of men's names. And if your name was on this list, it means that you are most likely... These men with these names are most likely to be the men who need to admit that their wives are always right. My name wasn't on the list, but Dominique's was. I don't know why. That just stuck out to me. There's a lot of men's names on the list, but that one was on there, so I thought, oh, that was Dominique. But so Seneca said yes and amen. But I wondered, does that mean my name's not on the list because I already admit that my wife is always right? Or is it because maybe she's wrong sometime? I don't know. But why do I say that? We need to come to the place where we admit that we don't know it all, that only God knows it all. I mean, and I brought up the thing by Criswell, because here's a man who was so brilliant, and yet he said, I don't know it all. After all this time, after all this success, after all this, these accolades of being the greatest this or the greatest that, he says, I'm still learning. And we need to, especially in when it comes to our marriage, we need to admit that we don't know it all, that we've got some things to learn. In life, anything that's worth pursuing in life involves a degree of learning. We go to school, we learn a profession, we have on-the-job training. Many jobs require continuing education. I mean, think about it. Aren't you glad that our doctors don't still practice medicine the way they did in the 1950s? Or even the 60s or 70s? I mean, some things don't change, but there's been a lot of advancements. Aren't you glad that there's continuing education, that they're continuing to grow and to learn? In addition to these things, we have to learn and be certified for many things that we do in life. If you want to drive a car, if you want to own a gun, if you want to go fishing or hunting, you have to have learned some things and get a license. But that's not so with marriage. They'll just give anyone a marriage license. No reading, no studying required. No schooling, no training, no learning. In fact, it's the same with parenting. But part of investing in your marriage is to continue to grow and to continue to learn. Learn how to be a better husband and a father. Learn how to be a better wife and a mother. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Just jot this down. I love this Proverbs. Commit this to memory. It says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning," or those who have understanding, "let the discerning get guidance." Please get this down deep in your heart. Get this down deep in your heart today. Understand this today. This is not talking about foolish people. This is not talking about ignorant people. It's not talking about people who are dumb or just plain stupid. This is talking about people who have already gained some understanding. These are people who have already gained some wisdom in life. People who are apt to say, "Hey, I think I've reached my pinnacle. I have arrived. I finally know it all." No, this is talking about, it says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let those with understanding, let the discerning continue to get guidance." He's talking to people who have already gained some wisdom and understanding, but he's saying, don't stop learning. If you're wise, keep adding to your learning. And if you already have some understanding, maybe you say, I think I've got this marriage thing figured out. I'm going to tell you something. When you get to that place is usually when you fall on your face. Because, God resists the proud. Pride goes before a fall. And we ever get to that place where we think we know it all, then we've got another thing coming. We need instruction. We need guidance. Sometimes we need counseling. Last summer, Jennifer and I were asked to go with a ministry team to Europe. And we took our family. And I want to say it was a mission trip. It really wasn't a mission trip so much as it was a ministry trip, because what we were going to do was to minister to pastors from over 20 different nations. And many of these guys are like heroes in some respects to me, because they're not just spiritual leaders in their cities, but they're the only church in their city, and they are spiritual leaders in their nations. And this ministry organization that we're connected to asked me and Jennifer to come to be a part of this ministry team, and our specific role was going to be ministering to these pastors and their wives on the subject of marriage and how to help them in their marriages. Now, understand this. This was not something that they wanted us to come to tell them how to help their people when they go back to their churches in the subject of marriage. They wanted ministry to their marriage. And so my first response was, why us? Why are you asking us to go over there? I mean, we've just come out of one of the toughest stretches in our marriage in 21 years. I mean, we had gotten to that place to where we needed help. And it wasn't so bad that we were saying, throwing out the D word or anything like that. It was just, we had a lot of stress and a lot of tension and contention in our marriage. And we needed help. Jennifer and I got counsel, and we actually went on a 3-day retreat with Jimmy Evans from Marriage Today, saying, brother, could you help us with our marriage? You know, I said, why us? And then my second thought was, why them? Why these pastors and that are leaders in their nation? Why are they asking for this? And the reason is because everyone needs help at some point in their marriage. Sometimes we get to that place, and I don't want to say sometimes, there will be times, one day or another, that you will come to the place where you say, we don't have this all figured out, and we need to grow, and we need to learn. And so we did it. And the interesting thing is we were able then to take some of the things that we had walked through and bring that to those pastors. And I was blown away because they had some speakers that are well known, written best-selling books, and they had this breakout sessions where these leaders can go here or they can go there, and they can come to this little pastor from Arlington, Texas. Well, he's not little, he's a small church. And they can maybe hear about their marriage. And the leaders of that conference predicted, they said, we're going to leave you here in the main hall, Keith. Everybody's going to go to these different breakout sessions. We're going to leave you here in the main hall. And I said, well, why? I don't know that we need this much room. I don't even know if anybody's going to come to our workshop. Did you know that nobody went to the other workshops? When they said, hey, listen, we're going to have the marriage workshop right here, everybody just stayed seated. Because every one of them said, we need help. Anything you got, just give us a nugget. Anything you got. And these are leaders in their nations, spiritual leaders in their nations saying, we need help. Now listen, guys, why I'm saying this is today, if they need it, we all need it. Amen. I needed it. You need it. We need to continue to grow and learn and get better at this. That's an investment that is a wise investment. So here's some just suggestions. Is just get around couples and get with couples that you can grow and learn together. Another thing I would suggest to you is read a book every once in a while. And there's great material that is out there. Another suggestion may be that if you're at a place, maybe you need to take a seminar or a class. Or maybe you need counsel. All of these things, there's nothing wrong with it because we all are at that place, but never stop growing and learning. And one of the, this is going to sound like a big commercial for our XO conference, but, well, it is. But one of the places you can start is at the end of this week, something we offer every year, and it's the best thing we do for marriages, I believe, every year, and that's to offer the simulcast XO conference. It's going to be Friday night and Saturday morning. We do it in our fellowship hall. We fix it up nice. We have refreshments. We try to make it kind of romantic and fun, but at the same time, you get to hear from some of the nation and really some of the world's leading experts. And can I, when I say that, some people, that just sounds boring. I'm going to tell you, these guys are not boring. Some of them are some funniest people you've ever heard, all right? But at the same time, some practical ways to invest in your marriage. And so I really encourage you, that may be a good place for you to start in the process of learning. That's going to be this Friday. You can go to our website, homefrontfamily.com, and you can register for that. But everybody say, never stop learning. Never stop learning. Date your spouse. And then number three, pray in agreement together. Regular investments in your marriage is to keep dating your spouse. Never stop learning. And pray in agreement. Pray in agreement with your spouse. Now, this can be difficult for many couples. I know for some couples, maybe you're here today and you're married to someone who's not even a believer, and so it's hard for you. If you're in that situation, I would suggest to you, start praying in agreement with some other people. And may I add, in groups or in people of the same sex, don't do that. Don't start praying in agreement with some strange man or strange woman. But pray in agreement for your spouse if they're not believers. But even for people who are married and both are believers, sometimes this can be difficult. It can feel awkward. Why is that? First of all, how many of you just admit, sometimes it's a little awkward. Fans already jump. It's almost like you had it on spring load. Sometimes it can be a little awkward. Why is that? I think one of the reasons is because you haven't made it a habit. Or maybe at one time it was a habit and you kind of got out of the habit and it feels awkward to try to start again. But I think another reason may be this, that it's hard sometimes to pray in agreement with your spouse. I think one of the reasons is because no one knows you as well as the person you're married to. And you come to church here, and you could be living like hell on a stick. I don't know what that means. But anyway, but you come to church and you put on your holy face. I mean, you're coming to church and you're yelling at your kids and you're arguing and fighting and maybe even cussing your wife, but you get out of the car and you put on your holy face. Or you put on your happy mask. No one knows what you're really like. But the person you're married to knows what you're really like. And they say, how can I pray with them after I behave that way? And you feel awkward and you feel unworthy or you feel... And can I don't want to... I'm not trying to steal from the old Nike ad, but can I just say, just do it. Just make a decision with each other, that you're going to fight past the awkwardness. You're going to look past the flaws. So I remember this one time this guy said, I want to pray with my... This was in East Texas years ago, and I'm some of these hillbillies in these... Anyway. he said, well, I want to pray with my wife, but every time I do, she always starts praying and bringing up all my flaws. You know, Lord, help my husband with this. Help him not to be so lazy all the time. Get up all... Anyway... No, decide to fight past the awkwardness, to look past the flaws, and just do it. Just begin to pray with each other. I'm going to tell you something. When you do this, when you begin to pray with each other, and it becomes more and more of a habit and becomes more and more of an investment that you're making, when you begin to do this, supernatural manifestations of the power of God begin to flow into your marriage and into your life. Beyond that, listen to this. It's kind of hard to stay mad at each other when you're continuing to pray for each other. And you start seeing breakthroughs, and then you start saying, wow, this actually is producing good fruit in our lives. But the two key words is start praying, but pray in agreement. Pray in agreements. In other words, begin to find those things that you do agree on and pray through those things. And the things that you're not sure you agree on, the things that are causing contention in your marriage, listen, begin to pray in agreement for the right solutions in that as well. But begin to find that place of agreement. Nothing is more important in marriage than when those two come into unity and come into agreement. This is a key word in this sentence, and the one thing the devil wants to do more than anything else, and I believe this with all of my heart, is to divide you. He wants to bring division into your life, into your marriage. He wants to divide you. He wants to divide and then conquer, because if he can divide you, he will conquer you. And so the enemy really wants to divide you. Your marriage needs to be, and get this, I didn't put this on the screen, I should have, but your marriage needs to be about we and not me. Everybody say we and not me. It needs to be about we, not me. I told you that the word dawback has multiple meanings. Let me show you again. This is, again, from the marriage covenant out of Genesis chapter 2, but this is Paul speaking now and quoting it. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined or united. That's one of the other meanings. It means united. Dawback means united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. God wants you to be in unity. He sees you not as two anymore, but as one. When you're married, God deals with you not as two, but as one. For this reason, Satan wants to divide you. He attacks you at the place of your unity. He wants to come in and attack you, and he'll look for those places where you are united, and he'll try to split you apart. You need to begin to pray in agreement. When you pray and come together in agreement, nothing can stop you. God said that himself. Genesis chapter 11, he said, when the people are united, there's nothing that can stand in their way. Nothing can stand in your way when you are united, when you're in unity with each other. Listen to these all-important words from Jesus. This is Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. He says, again, I say to you, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, again, I say to you. In other words, he says this, but he's already said this before. And he's saying it again because he's wanting to get the point across how important it is to understand this. I'm going to repeat this. I'm going to reemphasize this to my disciples. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, talking about in prayer, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Sometimes I wish that I was part of God's public relations department. God, I don't know if I would say that. No, God means what he says. And he says, when you can come into agreement together in prayer, when you really are in unity, when you really are in agreement, he says, it will be done for you. It will be done. There's nothing. The blessing of God comes when you pray in agreement. You need breakthrough in your marriage. Do you need breakthrough in your family? Do you need breakthrough in your finances? Do you need breakthrough in your health? Do you need breakthrough in your life? Begin to pray in agreement, and the breakthrough that you need is going to happen. It's going to be done for you because God promised it. Jesus said it. Annie said to me the other day, she went to church with her grandparents several months back. She said, Dad, I like you because you don't scream like Nani and Poppy's pastor. Well, sometimes I get a little excited and I scream. But if you need breakthrough, and sometimes we just need to be yelled at. But anyway, if you need breakthrough, please hear me. Begin to pray in agreement. Everybody say, date your spouse. Say, continue learning. And pray in agreement. Jesus promised it. This is the wisest investment you can make, though, when you invest in your marriage. I want you to see this one more time, and I want you to show you something that Jennifer saw in this, because I talked with Jennifer about this. And I don't always run all my messages by her, but I did this one. Date your spouse. That's something we do physically in our flesh, our body, in other words. Continue learning, that's intellectual, our mind and our will and our emotions. In other words, that's our soul. And pray in agreement. And this is something that we do spirit, dealing with our spirit, spirit to spirit with one another and with God's spirit. When you are doing these three things, you are investing your spirit and your soul and your body into your marriage. And God is pleased with that because it's a reflection of his what he has invested in us. God invested his spirit, his soul, in his body. But it's a decision. Hear this again today. That when you do this, when you make this investment, you're keeping those love tanks full in each other's lives. But it's a decision of the heart, really. And I know this is going to be a little sensitive today, and I'm almost done. But when Jesus was asked about divorce, I don't know if you remember this or not, but the Pharisees came to him and asked him, says, is it really permitted for a man to divorce? And Jesus said the only reason divorce even happens at all, the only reason is because of hardness of heart. Now that's the Keith Watson paraphrase version of what Jesus said. But basically, in the Old Testament, they were permitted to divorce, because Moses said so in the law. And Jesus said the only reason Moses said that was because of the hardness of your heart. So the only reason the divorce happens is because somebody's heart grows hard. Can I tell you today, this is really more than anything else. This is an issue of the heart. Where is your heart? When you turn your heart back to your spouse, when you turn your heart back to your marriage and begin to invest spirit, soul, and body, what you're doing is saying yes to Jesus' lordship. Because Jesus wasn't saying it's okay. He's saying something's wrong in the heart. There's a hardness there. And so if a decision is made in your heart to put value on your marriage and invest in, you're going to see the blessing of God. You're going to see. I've got to stop because I know some people are offended by what I just said. And you've gone through a divorce. And I just want to speak into that just a little more clearly today. I understand the pain that is associated with divorce. And I am not here to cause anybody any sense of condemnation. Please hear my heart today. I love you and God loves you. It may not have been your heart that was hard. It may have been the person who left you or the person who abused you or the person who cheated. But listen to me today. There was a hardness that happened somewhere, is all I'm saying. Because that's what Jesus said. Some of you in here today, you know. You know that back in the day, maybe you were hard. But there's some of you in here today and you are married and you're at a place where you're hard. Maybe you're not hard-hearted yet, but it's getting tough. And you need to let God come in and begin to do a miracle work in your heart. And you need to say yes to them. Because remember this today, and I'm done. Our marriage is always meant to be a reflection of our heart to God and His heart to us. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. You're in here today and you say, I need to make Jesus really the Lord of my life. Maybe you believe He died for your sins. Maybe you've accepted Him as your Savior, but you say, I really need Him to take over because I can't do this myself. My heart is getting hard. I can't do this myself. There's some of you in here today who have been wrestling with someone. There's some ladies in here today who've been really wrestling in their hearts because it's been hard. Life has been hard. And the person that you married, maybe the fantasy you had about marriage is not living up to the reality of your marriage. Someone in here today is just saying, this has been hard, and the hardness of this. I thought it was all supposed to be easy, but marriage is actually work. It's an investment, and it's been so hard that my heart is growing a little bit hard. And I just need to submit my heart again to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and let Him become the center of every area of my life, including my marriage. If you need to do that for the first time, or if you're just in here and you say, I need to do that again, I need to just make that commitment again because I don't want my heart to be hard, would you just raise your hand and let me know if I'm talking to you today?